Welcome to Come Follow Me On The Go. My name is Kylie, and this podcast is designed for families and children that are in the car and on the go. Each podcast episode, I will be sharing stories and scriptures from the Come Follow Me lesson plans. In addition, discussion questions are provided so families can pause the podcast to discuss and grow closer to Christ and closer together as a family while you are in the car and on the go. Okay, welcome back to this week's Come Follow Me On The Go. I've got just a couple short little thoughts and stories to share with you guys, and we'll just jump right in. We're going to start in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15, I think it's really 16, where Esau is mentioned. So if you don't know who this person is, I'm going to give you some of the backstory. So there are two twin brothers. There's Esau and Jacob, who are children of Isaac and Rebekah. And Esau was the firstborn twin, but Jacob came out of the womb holding onto his heel, like he didn't want Esau to come out first. So since Esau was the firstborn, he had the birthright, which meant he would inherit like the decision-making power of the family. He would inherit most of the family's wealth, most of their land, and Jacob wanted it. One day Esau came home from having worked in the fields and was famished. He was so hungry, he was starving, and he asked Jacob for some food. And Jacob, being clever, said he would give porridge to Esau if Esau traded him for his birthright. And Esau, being so hungry and so short-sighted of just needing the food right then, that Esau agreed. He gave up his birthright. So in verse 17, we are warned not to make decisions like Esau. So don't choose what you want now for happiness or for fun or whatever it is, but keep the long game in mind. Like, what in the long run do you want for your life? Esau actually repeated this same mistake multiple times in his life. So in the message, it called it Esau syndrome. So don't perpetually make short-sighted decisions. So my question for you guys is, what are some long-term goals or blessing that you would like to receive that you're trying to keep your eye on that prize instead of maybe some of the short-term wants that you have? Okay, also in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, in the King James version of the Bible, it talks about like looking diligently. They want you to look diligently at your life and the things that could cause bitterness and spring up. In the message, they word it as like a garden. They say, watch for thorns and thistles and make sure you're constantly pulling them out of your life so they do not overgrow your garden. And I love that imagery that we always have to be a watchful gardener. Like, what are we growing in our hearts and in our minds? And what do we need to pull out of our life and get rid of to get closer to Christ? So is there anything that you feel like you need to weed out of your life? Okay, so in chapters 7 through 8, there's a lot of really good meat of the gospel about the priesthood. But what I wanted to focus on is more the concept of shadowing. So Paul teaches that the Mosaic laws and ordinances and sacrifices were all a type or a shadow that represented Christ. So when we think about shadows, I instantly thought of like sock puppets. Or not a sock puppet show, but a shadow puppet show. Like, if you are watching a sock puppet show, you're only seeing that dark figure that represents the hand or the animal they're trying to make. But we know that there really is a hand, right? If we stood up and looked the other way, we would see the hand in front of the light. And it's the same thing he's saying. Those shadows just represented Christ. And now Christ has come to earth. I thought it was interesting also to think about, we have shadows that come when the sun rises and when the sun sets, right? So everybody that lived before Christ got to see the shadows of what was to come. And now we get to see the shadow because Christ came. We're still waiting for him to come again, but we still have all the wonderful blessings of what he has left for us. So what are some of the shadows you see in your life because Christ came? So another word for that would be like, what are the blessings or the knowledge or the tools that because Christ has already come to earth, we still get to utilize and see those shadows in our life now? Okay, so chapter 11 a lot of times is known as like the faith chapter because there's so many good examples of people and their strong faith. In verses 5 and 6, Paul touches on reminding us about Enoch, who just went straight to heaven because without dying. So he just went straight to Heavenly Father without dying. He left the earth, went straight to heaven because he had pleased God so much. And Paul teaches us that we cannot please God if we do not have faith. And then he goes into listing all these amazing people and some of their acts of faith. So he talks about Abel, Enoch, as I just mentioned, Moses. He talks about even Moses' parents who had such strong faith that they hid him for 3 months despite the danger that they themselves would be in. How Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son to Heavenly Father. He had such great faith that somehow he would still have all these descendants, even though he was going to kill his only son. He talks about how Sarai had faith to have the strength and the capacity to conceive. So I just thought it'd be a fun opportunity to chat in your family and share experiences of a time that you have been able to have a great act of faith. Okay, in Hebrews 11 as well, we learn that faith is confidence and hope for things that we cannot see. And that's a really known verse, right? We know that faith is things that we hope for that we cannot see. But recently, when I was studying and digging, a lady shared her thoughts on how she prays. And I haven't figured out how I feel about it, but she prays to Heavenly Father in thanksgiving for the blessings she's hoping to receive. Does that make sense? So she prays as if she's already received the help that she needs, right? If she's sick, she says, Heavenly Father, thank you for making me feel better today. Because she trusts so much that Heavenly Father will have her best interest in heart. So even if she doesn't feel better that day, she knows that's because Heavenly Father needed her to have another day of rest. Does that make any sense? So I just thought, wow, she has a ton of faith to just know Heavenly Father will bring her what she needs. And if she thinks it's what she needs and it's not what she needs, then she's fine with that. And she is open to that. The last little verse I want to share with you guys is just, I don't know, it just makes my heart feel so happy inside. I don't know why. But it's in chapter 13, verse 2. And it says, be not forgetful to entreat strangers, right? So to help strangers, talk to them, be kind to them, uplift them, because there are people who have been kind to strangers and it actually has been angels. So I just thought it was a good reminder that we have ministering angels all around us. And we have been told by our prophets and apostles that we should pray for their help, but also like they're around us and they're here to help us. And we should treat everybody kindly because maybe it's an angel. So my question for that little section is, why do you think ministering angels would need us to treat them kindly and to like serve them? Why do you think Paul's telling us to be kind to strangers because it might be an angel? All right, that is all that I have for this week. Thank you for joining me. I hope that your families were able to grow closer together and closer to Christ while you were in the car and on the go.